The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, we are back, and we are reflecting on a fun weekend, the NFL draft in the books. Saturday's show was terrific. Big shout out to Jamie, Heath, and Chris Trapasso for telling us what we needed to know about all of the day three guys. And now we'll, you know, we've had some time to digest it a little bit, sleep on it, and now we'll discuss. Adam Azer with the three guys, Jamie Eisenberg, Heath Cummings, and Dave Richard is here as well. We've got rankings, risers, and fallers. We'll tell you about where the rookies are in the rankings, where they're going to be. As Heath and Dave will give their rankings, risers, and fallers, Jamie will react. We also have Ezekiel Elliott signing with the Dallas Cowboys and some more news from around the NFL. And Heath, who's your biggest rankings riser from after the NFL draft?
You're going to hate me so much. But first off, I'd just like to say I like Jamie's position better. Can I just go to be the guy that's just going to react to the other guy's rankings? I think that's more fun. I will go biggest. Like, I'll just be honest. The biggest riser for the weekend was Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I don't buy. I mean, from nowhere to somewhere.
Right. Like, he was outside of my top 50 running backs. He's definitely going to be a top 36 running back now. He might even get close to 30, somewhere in that 30 to 36 range. And I would guess there's going to be a stretch of like 6 weeks this year where we're starting Ezekiel Elliott.
Do you know where he ranked among running backs in the last six games of the season last year?
Top eight?
Yeah, exactly. He was seventh in half PPR, eighth in full PPR. He had the most catches among running backs. He averaged 3 yards per carry in that stretch, but he had 31 catches in six games. That included the game in which Stevenson got hurt. All right, so Ezekiel...
That was like the worst offense in football, too, though.
Yes, it was. Is he, you know, obviously... Okay, if you had a bet right now, who gets the first carry of the season for the Cowboys? Is it Zeke or is it someone else?
Zeke.
Someone else.
Two Zekes and a someone else. Plan B on YouTube says, in what round are you interested in drafting Ezekiel Elliott?
No. Seven.
Seven.
Okay, Dave, you're not buying it, it sounds like.
He's going to share, and it's he could very easily share. All it takes is for one running back who can have some explosion in his game to absolutely render Ezekiel Elliott into a passing downs back, maybe a guy that scores seven times this year, maybe catches 35 to 45 passes. I'm not saying that there isn't a place for him on draft day. I'm just saying that I don't really want to trust him on my fantasy team as a regular starter.
Why not Rico Dowdle?
The guy said round seven on Zeke.
Yeah.
Jamie Heath.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I can name 12 other guys, not necessarily running backs, but other players that I would take in round seven.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm taking round seven. That's where I would start to consider.
Okay.
Why?
Like Brian Robinson or Ezekiel Elliott?
Robinson.
Yeah. And I think Robinson's a round seven pick. Aaron Jones is probably going to be right around there. Ramondre is going to be right around there.
Jones will go ahead of round seven.
I think Ramondre will go ahead of round six. Ahead of round seven
too. I don't know if they. I don't know if they should.
Those guys are better than Robinson. They're better than Zeke.
I think there's going to be some. Okay, here's one more running back. And I know I said that there's going to be other running back, other non running backs that are better than Zeke. Raheem Mostert or Zeke?
Mostert.
Ooh. Difference of opinion, Adam.
There's 85 guys in Miami now.
All right. So that's the thing. I mean, does Jalen Wright change it? My thought was he's probably, no, I was going to say he could. I think there's a good chance that Wright, who the Dolphins drafted in what, the fourth round or fifth round? Sorry.
They spent a day two pick on him.
Wright was round four.
No, but they spent a day two pick to get him.
Okay. I don't quite know what that means.
They spent a round three pick in 2025 to draft him in round four of 2024.
Yeah, they're looking at someone who's going to be a playmaker for them this year, and obviously part of their tandem moving forward once Raheem Mostert's done.
Right, that's the thing. Like, I feel like he's not going to play until one of the other guys gets hurt. So,
but it might be a situation where we're looking at a split when Mostert and Achane are healthy, and we're looking at a split if Mostert or Achane gets hurt, because Wright just moves into that spot. Yeah. So the injury upside that those guys had when the other one got hurt is lessened.
I already love the idea of drafting Mostert and Wright to the same fantasy team.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Dave, who's your biggest rankings riser?
I got to give it to Zamir White. Looks like he's going to survive the offseason and be the lead running back for the Las Vegas Raiders. Did a great job to end last year. This is a Raiders team that improved their offensive line. They're going to have Brock Bowers to further take some safeties out of the box against them. And they want to be run heavy. And they're going to use two tight ends all the time. So I think that Zamir White has earned a place, maybe even as a top 60 pick, if not higher. I'd love to hear where Jamie and Heath re-ranked him, but I've got him right on the end of round five, beginning of round six.
I think I had him at the 4 or 5 turns. So he was my other guy that I was going to say as the biggest riser. So he's definitely like, we're going to get all the dead zone arguments against him. And they, sometimes those guys do get all the work that we're projecting they're going to, and they end up being values because they're pulled down. But man, I said it last week. I think this team is going to run the ball a ton, and I think that Zamir White's going to be the lead back.
Zamir White, in the last four games of the season, he was on pace for 357 carries and almost 1,700 yards, also 38 catches. They drafted Dylan Lauby. I know there was some confusion about how to pronounce his name. That's how we're going.
No, it's Lauby.
It's Lauby. I heard it as Lauby or Lobby, but I heard it as
Lauby. I would guess there's going to be some confusion about how to pronounce his name like 3 months from now.
Well, the thing is, I mean, he does figure to be, if anything, a pass catcher. Right? I mean,
he is a fun player. He really stood out at the Senior Bowl. He's a lot more of a pass catcher than a runner.
Yes.
That's so the point I could see him. He's going to be one of about 14 running backs that were drafted who could be a factor on special teams, but he could also be their third down back pretty quickly. I don't see him taking carries away from Zamir White. I also don't know how many carries Alexander Mattison will take away from Zamir White. All the more reason why Zamir White has really catapulted himself into the round five conversation.
All right. By the way, FFT Dynasty, this is a big week because we're mostly going to talk about the rookie values and the veteran values in 2024. You got to listen to FFT Dynasty if you want some dynasty help and figure out who are the gems that maybe they won't contribute much this year, but they could have big futures ahead of them. So listen to FFT Dynasty Tuesdays and Fridays. You can watch it youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. You can watch all of our shows, FFT and 5, FFT, FFT Dynasty, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Who is the biggest faller in your rankings, Dave Richard?
Pick a Bears receiver.
Well, which
and,
one?
I don't know if they're necessarily the biggest faller because I'm going to be pretty anti-Achane. In fact, I'd like to change my answer. Devon Achane.
Okay.
Yeah. Because of the Wright signing. And Jamie's right. Like, Wright is more for the future than for now, but I think they will learn that Wright can actually work on passing downs. He was a pretty good pass blocker at Tennessee. He's a good receiver, and he's got what you need to be a running back in Miami, and that's track speed. And just the decision that they made to move up to get him and use future capital to get Jalen Wright, man, I think that tells the story about how they feel about their running backs in general, that they wanted to add this guy. And so I am extremely nervous. Where were we taking HM before, guys? Like round three?
Two.
Maybe late round two?
Two.
No, I can't do it anymore.
Well, that's the thing. I had him, I think, at RB20 before the draft. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I didn't think the Dolphins were going to draft someone. I just was really scared off by the way the Dolphins used him in the playoffs and at the end of the year last year. And in games that were not blowouts, really. And so I'm wondering, did you drop him to where you're like where I am, or did you drop him further? Is it RB20 range about right?
Yeah, it's right around there. He might even be a little bit ahead of 20 among the running backs in full PPR, but I'm still, I don't want to spend even a round four pick on him now.
The counter here, you don't want to spend a round four pick on Devon Achane. Wow. The counter here
I'll
is
be buying all day.
The counter here is this. This was a bad running back class, and this guy was drafted in the fourth round, and they and fourth round picks usually don't really factor in as rookies. I mean, quite frankly, they usually don't have very good careers. But we have had Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Pierce in recent seasons, Roshan Johnson was a fourth round pick last year, and people made a big stink about him, and it kind of stunk. So he had a role. I'm not going to say he didn't have a role, but he never came anywhere near becoming the starting running back there, which I know you're not projecting for Jalen Wright. But what I'm saying is fourth round running backs, I think the day after the NFL draft, you can sort of overrate them.
He's a third round running back, Adam, because they traded a third round pick in 2025.
I mean, that is a weird trade, by the way. But so it is not a bad point by Dave. They gave up a third.
Being sarcastic, Dave.
What's that?
I think Ethel's being sarcastic.
I understand that, but I actually think Dave made a good point in bringing that up.
I do too. I was being sarcastic, and I think it's a good point. But I think part of the reason I bring it up is if you call this a third round pick, Achane was a third round pick last year.
Yeah, I know. Fourth round picks typically don't do that much. That's why you could look at them. They're on the roster, but I don't know that he's really going to be a big factor.
This is also a team. I think this is a guy who'll play on special teams. This is also a guy that they're starting running back, even though we haven't been drafting it, is 31 years old. I mean, this is not necessarily an indication of this year. This is an indication of more for the future.
Agreed.
And so to panic on Achane, I think, is a little bit too crazy.
But I'm panicking in terms of this year. Dynasty is a different story, but this year, not only I think it's going to come down to this. No matter the situation, there's going to be a split among running backs in Miami. McDaniel talked about it last year. We saw it last year. Heath mentioned months ago that when Achane got work, it was mostly in blowout situations. And it was blowout wins more than blowout losses. And so even if Mostert goes down, Jamie, if Wright knows what he's doing, he will see the field a good amount with Achane. And Achane had a hard time staying healthy last year. So look, I get it. He's super efficient and he was awesome. He did it against the worst run defenses in the league. I'm nervous to spend. I don't know where you're taking him, Jamie, but let's just say round four. I'm worried to spend that type of capital on Achane, knowing that he may never get the type of workload that we would want.
Okay. Heath, who's your biggest
caller? I'll try David Montgomery over Devon Achane.
Ooh. All right. Heath, who's your favorite? Who's your biggest faller? Biggest faller.
Biggest faller is probably I'll go with what Dave said. The Bears wide receivers. I think DJ Moore is the one. I'd already kind of been out on Keenan Allen. And so I'm really out on Keenan Allen now. And I think DJ Moore, who was in that, like, which wide receivers do we want to draft in round two conversation, is not in that conversation for me anymore. Probably more of a round four or round five pick now. And I think it is a real question mark who the number one wide receiver for the Chicago Bears is going to be week one, and especially like week 10.
Would you move Devontae Smith, T. Higgins, and Jalen Waddle? I always go back to that disappointing trio from last year. And I feel like we were taking DJ Moore consistently ahead of them in mock drafts this year, you know, after free agency. But now with the addition of Rome Odunze, would you move Devontae Smith, T. Higgins, and Jaylen Waddle ahead of DJ Moore?
I would.
I wouldn't, but it's very close.
Two of those three, yes. Not Devontae Smith.
Okay. All right. Those are some risers and fallers. We will have more for you in a little bit. We are going to take a break, give you some news and notes. Thankfully, relief that Tank Dell is okay. We'll tell you about that. What Tom Telesco, the Raiders GM, said about Michael Mayer, and more after this on Fantasy Football Today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, news and notes. Tank Dell was shot, thankfully not seriously injured. Hopefully a quick recovery for him and everyone else involved there. Cowboys signed Ezekiel Elliott. He'll be 29 years old in July. And I mentioned after the Ramondre Stevenson injury, he was a top 10 running back. I think I said he was 7th and 8th. He was 9th in half PPR. He was 8th in full PPR. The Jaguars picked up fifth-year options on Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. And Lawrence, no surprise there. Jamie, any surprise at all in your mind that they picked up the fifth-year option on Travis Etienne? And what do you think that says about him?
I think it says that they're committed to him being their lead guy. You know, and, you know, we talk about this with the NFL draft capital. You know, was this more of an indication, the running back they selected, on Tank Bigsby and Dearness Johnson, or was it more of an indication on what they feel about Etienne? I think they're telling you what they think about Travis Etienne, that he's still going to be their lead runner. They'll take some work off of him, but I think that was always part of the conversation, was they want to make sure he's healthy toward the end of the season if they're going to make a playoff run. And by doing that, they'll alleviate some of the work he has during the season. So he's still a very solid round two pick in my mind.
There was a pretty healthy debate, I think, in Dynasty between, and probably still is, between Etienne and Achane. And I'm on the ETN side of that and feel better about it after this weekend. They're both still top 10 dynasty running backs. Am I the only one who thinks that this Trevor Lawrence contract negotiation could get really interesting? Like, this is the year when Burrow, Herbert, all those guys got locked up. And I wonder if Lawrence's goes more like Lamar's did, and we've got a little bit of acrimony.
I wonder if he wants out of there. Like, it's been such a disaster for him.
Yeah. I think he's going to end up having just a massive contract, though. I think he's going to get paid higher than what his performance has been.
He's probably going to want a Herbert deal, right?
Well, I want a Herbert deal. No, he might get, I think he's going to get it. I think he's going to get
it. Well, I think he probably wants a Deshaun Watson deal. I mean, like, they all do.
I think he's going to get paid like a star, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course he is.
He hasn't been one. But hopefully that will change. All right, more news and notes. Falcons head coach Raheem Morris said Kirk Cousins does not have to look over his shoulder after they drafted Michael Penix. The Broncos expect Bo Nix to play right away, according to ESPN's Dan Graziano. The Vikings are still working on signing Justin Jefferson to a new contract. The Eagles signed former Jets offensive tackle Mekhi Becton. The Raiders GM, Tom Telesco, said that Michael Mayer is an excellent tight end, and there is no rule in the NFL that you can only play one tight end. Dave, do you think that Michael Mayer's presence drags down the value and the production of Brock Bowers in fantasy?
No, not that much.
Okay.
It is a low-key, crowded receiving core in Vegas now. And that might drag down Bowers, but I still think Bowers will be second on the team in targets.
Do you have Bowers top 12?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay.
Me too.
Who do you have?
I think I've got him 12th, but man, I don't feel comfortable with it. I do think between Adams and Jakobi Meyers and Michael Mayer is going to play plenty. I'm not sure Bowers will be second.
Right. I thought that was pretty interesting that, you know, it's going to be him or Meyers. So,
right.
Okay. Broncos made probably a pretty good trade. They got defensive end John Franklin Myers from the Jets for a 6th round pick in 2026. So he's a good player. The Jets needed to get rid of his salary after they acquired Hassan Reddick from the Eagles. And the Steelers intend to use 1st round pick Troy Fa'utanu at offensive tackle. There was some thought that maybe he'd play inside, but they plan to play him at tackle. And they also drafted center Zach Frazier in round 2.
Did they happen to say which tackle spot for Fautano?
No, I didn't see that. But they're a rookie from last year. Broderick Jones was playing right tackle, right? Or was he playing left tackle?
He was. Right but tackle? I think they drafted him with the intention of him eventually being their left tackle.
Okay. I do not know. One thing I do know is that Dave and Heath gave me a list of risers, and neither of you had Najee Harris on there. You could say he was a draft winner, right? They drafted 2
sure.
offensive linemen. I don't know, but no.
The offseason's kind of gone his way, right? Look at the offensive coordinator change. The additions that they made at quarterback and wide receiver don't suggest that they want to have huge firepower and become a dominant passing offense. And they've bulked up the offensive line.
What? Why would it be Najee Harris and not Jaylen Warren as the winner, though?
Unfortunately, both.
Oh, sorry.
My problem is I don't have a strong feeling. I've kind of gone back and forth, but they're always within 2 spots of each other in the rankings, and I think it's like a 50-50 shot. Warren could be better.
It feels like Tomlin still wants Najee to be the running downs guy, which is the problem for Jaylen Warren.
Okay, let's go to Heath's risers then. And
there's also Cordarrelle Patterson there too with Arthur Smith.
So. Oh, yeah. They're losers.
Over under 15 carries for Cordarrelle Patterson this year.
Over.
For the season?
Yeah.
We're by week 2.
He's a special teams guy. Like they should not use him.
Well, I mean, the Falcons should not have used him last year, and they
did. Forty carries for Patterson.
Over. The scary part is that 15 carries by week 2 is not that much of an exaggeration.
All right, let's go to Heath's risers here. Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray are your quarterback risers. Is Mahomes number 1? Is Kyler Murray top 8?
Mahomes is number 1, and I believe, let me just verify, I believe Kyler Murray is QB 8. Woo! So you nailed both of those, Adam. Listen, I think I'm probably going to be more excited about what Xavier Worthy does for Mahomes and for the Chiefs than I am about drafting Xavier Worthy in redraft this year. But I do think that if Rashi Rice plays 14, 15 games this year, it might be the best set of weapons that Patrick Mahomes has ever had.
I like that. Look at the top 4 quarterbacks.
Sorry, a delay on that, but
what are you talking about?
I was Xing out Heath's might be the best weapons Mahomes has ever had. Thing, but yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah,
that, Tyreek, Pete Kelce, Sammy Watkins. I'll take that trio over what he has right now.
Right, like that's a spicy meatball. But think about what's happened to Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson this offseason. And then think about what's happened to Mahomes. I think that's the case for Mahomes to be QB1.
Well,
what happened to Hurts?
What happened to Hurts and Jackson?
Saquon Barkley's there.
Oh, all right. What about Jackson?
I don't think Derek Saquon Barkley's going to hurt Jalen Hurts at all.
I don't think it's going to hurt him to make him like a top
Barkley?
6 quarterback.
I think the loss of Kelce and the potential change in the tush push might hurt. I think Barkley's presence will hurt a little bit because, you know, 15 rushing touchdowns maybe goes down to 12 or 10, you know, with also a tush push less touchdown or 2 as well, you know, so his passing might improve. But yeah, Mahomes won for me.
Is Allen a slam dunk 2 for anybody?
No.
No, I have Mahomes hurts Allen.
Yeah, Mahomes hurts Jackson Allen there for now, but I'm weighing it. He could fall as far as 4.
By the way, just to clarify, they didn't get rid of the tush push. I think Jamie is concerned that without Jason
Kelce. No, that the tush push will change for the Eagles without Kelce.
Yeah, right. That's what I was saying. Okay, And Kyler Murray is eighth. Who'd you move him ahead of, Heath?
Jordan Love. And I think I move both him and Anthony Richardson up because Richardson is nine. So, and no, I moved him just ahead of Richardson too. So Love and Richardson.
Stroud ahead of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Zamir White is a riser for you. Dave already mentioned that. Ezekiel Elliott is a riser for you. Do you have anything else you want to say about Zamir White and Ezekiel Elliott?
No.
No.
Okay. Here, I'll just say this about Zamir White, just to get a conversation going here, because it was mentioned maybe getting him in round four. And I talk about this. Okay, well, we're not sure this running back's very good, but he's got this great opportunity. Probably not going to be the pass-catching running back, right? But it's like you really need him to have a lot of carries. Zamir White, for example, let me see, 104 carries. He had two carries that were longer than 16 yards, both against terrible run defenses. So I do think that he could be one of those players where people are like, well, I don't know how good he is, whatever. I get nervous taking a guy like that in the fourth round. I think the lesson I learned from last year was because, you know, Alexander Mattison was a
bust. He's Madison.
He is, but Rashad White, I mean, I felt kind of the same way about Rashad White. I knew that he was going to catch more passes, but I thought Rashad White stunk, wouldn't be a very good fantasy back. I didn't want him. But Rashad White was going so much later than Alexander Mattison in drafts. So that's the thing about White. It's like, I don't know, you know, my thought right now.
Round five is probably better.
Round five would be the earliest for me. But yes, I'm not saying he's Madison in the same vein as the same player. But it's the same situation.
Right.
I mean, it's a very small sample size of a guy getting an opportunity, and will he completely take advantage of it? Now, he looked good in those four games. You know, he showed he could be a pass catcher when they threw him the ball. He showed he could be a workhorse type running back, and it doesn't seem like things are going to change based on what they added, ironically enough, Alexander Mattison. But, you know, it's also – I wonder how we would feel about Zamir White, better or worse – if the quarterback situation was different.
Right.
Because it doesn't feel like while they didn't trade Devontae Adams and they spend the draft capital on Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers is still there. Dave just said, you know, crowded receiving core, you know, so there's a lot of weapons there that are very attractive in the passing game, but it's still either going to be Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. And that's not exactly screaming, hey, we want to be a pass happy type of team.
And I do think that one difference between White and Madison last year is that we thought the Vikings were going to throw the ball the most in the NFL. And I think most of us think the Raiders are going to be more run heavy than the average NFL team.
Totally.
So I think there are a lot more rush attempts per game available for the lead back.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Dave's risers are Marvin Harrison. You know, honestly, I don't think I was clear with you guys about rookie rankings. I didn't really ask for those, but hopefully you have them sort of handy, at least Heath and Dave. I know Jamie's going to publish his rankings soon, but Marvin Harrison is one of Dave's risers and Zamir White is the other one. So where are we ranking Marvin Harrison, Dave Richard?
I have a hard time keeping him out of round two. And so the reason why I said that he was a riser is because before the draft, no question about it, top 15 type of fantasy receiver, no doubt about it. A round three guy. I think I said like toward the end of round three, or maybe I said like right around 30th overall for Harrison. Dude, I feel like that there are eight stud receivers that I've got no questions about.
Yep.
And then after that, you can make the case for Harrison, Devontae, either of the Niners wide receivers, Olave, Drake London, maybe Mike Evans. But that's a tier. That's a group. And Harrison is squarely in it. And I could absolutely see the case where Harrison is at the top of it. But it goes back to another theme that I'm going to have all season long. Everybody has to take a drink every time I say you don't want to draft a guy too high, too close to a ceiling. And that might be the case if we're taking Harrison at like 20th overall. So I'm not there yet, but I'm struggling keeping him out of late round two.
He's 22nd overall for me.
Overall, oh, okay.
So I am not struggling.
You got him there.
Wide receiver.
Receivers, you've got him ahead of.
The guy who is generally the low guy on rookies, he's wide receiver nine. Like you mentioned, there's eight stud wide receivers.
Okay, so you've done that.
I assume they were Lamb, Jefferson, Chase, Tyreek, Amon-Ra, A.J. Brown, Puka Nacua, and Garrett Wilson.
Nailed it. Those are the eight
wide receivers that I have ahead of Harrison. And I think that you could, like, there's people you could make an argument for in full PPR. Maybe you put Michael Pittman or
if Mike Evans wasn't so old, I'd probably have Mike Evans ahead of him after what he did last year with Baker Mayfield. But there's nobody else that I think is a surefire pick over Harrison.
Why is Garrett Wilson? I mean, I would take Wilson over him, I think, but you know, why? You know, why is that? Is that an easy call to take Garrett Wilson over Marvin Harrison?
No.
Okay.
It is for me. Yeah.
It is. Why, Jamie?
Well, I think first off, you know, we've seen some rookies come in and have big seasons. I'll take the third year guy over the rookie, just having a little bit more of established, you know, understanding of the league. Plus, his quarterback's not going to run around in the pocket and leave like Garrett Wilson's guy is, who's not going to run at all. So I think the targets will favor him and the upside will favor him just for this year at least.
Okay. And Dave, is it an easy call, Garrett Wilson over Marvin Harrison?
For now, yes.
All right. I got an interesting Twix poll up. I just published it as Dave was talking. Which wide receiver are you drafting first? Devontae Adams, Chris Olave, Drake London, Marvin Harrison? I mean, it's only 50 votes. Let's see. Schaefer's got 12 votes there on his screen. I got 50. 40.
I've got 87.
87. All right. What do we got? What are the results?
Harrison at 34%, Adams at 25, London at 23, Olave at 18.
Yeah. Maybe the most interesting part of that is Olave being dead last. But okay, we'll come back to that in a little bit. Please remind me, Schaefer, to check on that. I always forget to do that. How about some rankings fallers? Heath, you have, this is a bigger list here. Well, we talked about the Bears wide receivers. Dave had them as fallers as well. He mentioned them at the top of the show. James Conner and Chuba Hubbard. Okay, why is James Conner a faller for you and Chuba Hubbard with, obviously, they took Jonathan Brooks. But yeah, go ahead. James Conner, you think he's got some serious competition here?
I think he has some serious competition here, yes. I was kind of viewing it as James Conner's going to be a top five running back for 11 games, and then he's going to miss a third of the season. And now it might be that he's not quite a full feature running back. And there is at least some risk that James Conner at his age just gets outperformed the first month of the season and isn't the starting running back at some point this season. He was a round 5-6 pick for me before this, no earlier than round 7 now, and I don't even love it there.
So they drafted Trey Benson in the third round, 66th overall. So it sounds like an easy call for Heath. Is it an easy call for everyone to take Zamir White right now over James Conner?
Yes.
Conner, though, man, like, he's been so damn good, and especially with Kyler Murray, I mean, that's like his guy. Throws to him, scores touchdowns. Okay. You know me. I like to play devil's advocate.
Well, and
okay. Is that Lethal Weapon, Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Heath's never seen that. No. Rashee Rice. Where are we talking about Rashee Rice now, Heath? He's one of your followers.
This isn't just the Xavier Worthy thing. It's also the fact that, like, some of the reporting that came out in the last week, I was viewing it as Rashee Rice is going to get suspended probably 0 to 3 games. And now it sounds like a multi-game suspension is the floor. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking at it more in the 3 to 6 game range or 2 to 4 game range. He was a borderline top 12 wide receiver for me at one point. He is now wide receiver 28 in round 5.
There've been some pretty obvious speeding traffic car wreck stuff, right? Between Ruggs and, right, Zay Flowers had an issue, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, his got dropped, so I think.
But I'm saying, like, I wonder, like, if this is just the NFL tired of these guys doing this, and
it's so stupid,
and like, this is the you're gonna pay the price of all the stupidity before you and stopping the stupidity after you. And it'll probably get reduced, whatever the suspension may be, from on appeal, but like, he may get something more than we're expecting.
Well, Heath, you have him ranked 28th, you said, at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what if I
28th?
Well, because I think Heath is anticipating a multi-game suspension. So let me just ask you, what if there were no suspension? Where would you have Rashee Rice ranked?
20? 18? Like, I think Worthy matters too. It's not just the suspension. Brown matters for sure, yes.
Agreed.
in the postseason.
So even before you get to the suspension, you can't feel great about Rice replicating what he did last year. And now he's going to be gone until October? Question mark?
Like, we just replaced, in terms of his competition, he was trying to beat out MVS and Sky Moore, and now he's trying to beat out Marquise Brown and Xavier Worthy. That's a huge difference in target competition.
Yeah, except I think he's kind of earned some cred now after last year, where maybe it's not as much of a target competition as it would have been if he had just been meh last year. He was pretty good for them. So I actually love the idea of buying the dip on Rashee Rice and just putting him on my bench for the first month of the year.
Well, can I ask you a question? You said you can't expect the same production even without the suspension, but did you mean his overall production, which was 938 yards, 7 touchdowns, or the last 6 games of the year when he was top 12 per game?
Yeah, it's more of the last 6.
Okay.
I would point out. I don't think he can get back there on a per game basis once he's back. I think he could still be a middle to low end wide receiver too.
Okay.
Once he's there, he just won't be as consistent. Might not have as many targets. Still could score a lot though.
Is Kelsey falling for you too?
He took a little bit of a drop. I had pretty much decided after he came back that he was going to be tight end 1, and I think he's going to be tight end 3 now.
Okay, what else is on Heath's? Marquise Brown.
I think one last thing on that, because Mahomes was open about talking about it last year, and Nagy and Reed both talked about it. Like, we're not going to have a consistent number one. Fantasy football managers are going to get mad at us because it's a different guy every week. But now they've actually got 4 guys that they could do that with, and they're good. So I think I don't know that there's a guy that sees 22% of the targets on the team.
Hence why Mahomes can be very consistent and at a high number every week.
It's also, and look, and I really honestly don't have an idea. We talked about this over the weekend that, you know, they've spent a lot of time the last couple of seasons drafting receivers.
Yeah.
Whether it was Hardman or Moore or Rice or now Xavier Worthy. And one guy has been productive.
Right. Yeah.
One guy's an incomplete because he hadn't played yet. 2 guys were flops. You know, and you could even say, based on when they acquired him, they got a young Kadarius Toney who they couldn't cultivate into something also.
They gave up a third for him, right?
They gave up a third for Toney, yes. Which turned into Darren
Waller. It was worth it.
The Giants. Yes, Giants traded that for Darren Waller. Yeah.
I just like, you know, is Rice the exception?
Right. No, that's a good question.
Be overlooking that, or did he just kind of fall into the right situation where, okay, he could play. They really needed somebody, and he may fall back to the pack a little bit, you know, with all these guys there. So, you know, Marquise Brown coming in as a veteran, you know, he should have a leg up, I think, over all the young players, you would hope.
Yes.
That doesn't mean he should be the first receiver drafted for the Chiefs. No. But it's still a matter of, like, are we expecting too much from Xavier Worthy?
Yeah.
Well, what are you expecting?
I mean, in regards to, let's say, 2-game suspension for Rice, and like Heath is saying, they now have 4 guys who can you know, steal targets from each other. Do they really? Like, is it really still just 3? And one of those guys is just kind of playing the MVS role, which could be Marquise Brown.
And then what does that leave Worthy? If Marquise Brown is in the MVS role,
stealing from the other guys, but he could also be a gadget player. You know, I mean, we have no idea how they're going to use him. Mm. The comp is sort of, you want him to be Tyreek Hill. Like, you know, you want this smaller, faster guy that is more than just a speed guy. I think, you know, we don't want to, you know, discredit what he did at Texas, but that's what everybody's going to attach him to. That's pro Xavier Worthy. He's got a chance to be Tyreek Hill, you know, the lofty glasses full expectations, but could he also just be Sky Moore? You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
There's that potential. You know, they won a Super Bowl with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney doing really next to nothing offensively. They caught a touchdown each in the Super Bowl. Yeah. That was their only catches.
I could say so much about Rashee Rice. I think he's fascinating. First of all, he hit the 900-yard threshold as a rookie, 938 yards. Almost always those guys do better. They get better. So that's great. But he did it in a way that sucks, I think. He had the lowest ADOT among any wide receiver, 80 wide receivers with 50 or more targets. He had a 4.8 yard ADOT. It's just, you've got to get a lot of targets if you're going to be that kind of player. On the other hand, he's got a role. He's got a role that Worthy's not going to play, that Marquise Brown's not going to play. He's the short area guy. On the other hand, go ahead and look at his game log in the postseason. He had 130 yards in the first game of the postseason. He had less than 50 yards in the other three. Part of that was just, you know, bad efficiency, but part of that was Travis Kelce finally woke up and had 355 yards in four playoff games. So when Kelce was more involved, you know, it seemed to hurt Rashee Rice a little bit. I think, how many touchdowns did Kelce score? He scored three touchdowns in the postseason. Rice scored one. So I don't know. There's a lot there. I think you can do pros and cons. And I think the biggest pro for me would be this. Patrick Mahomes was on pace last year for about 4,444 yards and 29 touchdown passes. He could throw for 5,240, and then you might have fewer targets, but you're just going to have so much more production from Mahomes. Like, Mahomes could be so much better and bring everyone up with him. So there are a lot of ways that it could go with Rashee Rice. Hopefully that ADOT gets a little higher, because I don't think he can be super successful with a 5 yard ADOT. But
it's all, their offense is going to evolve again. Like, yeah. I mean, this is the fun part of watching this offseason. Like, they went through this metamorphosis last year where they were more run heavy. They were not necessarily throwing as much, and their defense was better. I mean, they lost a big piece on defense with Snead gone, you know, so who knows how successful they'll be in stopping people. They were just dominant last year in stopping people, which was awesome from a defensive standpoint. Now it's almost like, okay, here you go, Patrick. We're giving you some weapons again. Go be the MVP. Like, he's got that. Like, he's chasing legends right now. Like, he's got an opportunity to three-peat. Never happened before. He's got an opportunity to – he's in the conversation of chasing Brady already. And he's going to start stacking MVPs again. Like, I mean, it's well within the possibility of him going for 5,050. Yes. And that's what you like about this offense.
I'm sorry to cut you off, James. Does any of this excite you about Pacheco? And just the fact that this is a team that did nothing at running back other than bring back Clyde?
I'm sure they'll bring back McKinnon too, knowing them.
Okay, guys, let me take a break.
I'm excited
here
about Pacheco.
We'll take a break and get to the rookies where they're ranked. Because Dave's Fallers are Devon Achane and the Bears wide receivers. So we'll come right back on FFT and discuss our rookie rankings after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dave, what do we got here? Marvin Harrison, we already talked about. He's a round two pick for you. Why don't we start with the wide receivers, and then we'll get into the quarterbacks and then the leftovers there. But wide receivers, where's Neighbors? Where are the rest?
They're way down. Neighbors for me is going to be round seven. And then after that,
sorry.
I know you're going to take him higher. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he's round five guy for me.
Yeah, you can have him. McConkey's going to be next for me. And then do I have Odunze? Odunze and Coleman I've gone back and forth on. I feel kind of gross having Coleman ahead of Odunze, but there's a target crunch in Chicago. We've already talked about that. Brian Thomas will be behind them. Then we get to the Roman Wilson, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin, Malachi Corley group. That's what I'm looking at for receivers. Everybody else is kind of behind them. And I might have missed somebody, so if I did, I'll point it out as we roll along.
So I've got Harrison round two. I've got Ladd as my wide receiver two in round seven. Neighbors in round eight. Brian Thomas in round nine.
Wow.
And then Rome, Worthy, Keon Coleman in round 10.
I would ask you guys, who do you have ranked ahead of them? It feels like a little bit too much right now. So I think get to know sort of where you guys have them conceptually, and we'll do some mock drafts. We got mock drafts lined up for this week, Jamie?
Yep. Couple.
Okay. So McConkey too. All right. I'd certainly see the logic there. What about Keon Coleman, Heath? I'm sorry, I missed that.
He was like wide receiver 6 or 7, round 10-ish.
Yeah, I mean, is it just that McConkey, why is it that McConkey is so much farther ahead than Coleman when they went back to back and they obviously are in sort of a similar setup?
Yeah, I think I like McConkey more before the draft. I think McConkey's going to do a much better job of getting wide open to see targets. And while neither one of them have a whole lot of target competition, I think Keon Coleman has more target competition than Ladd McConkey.
I don't know that really mentioned this when we talked about McConkey. If there's this concern with him, just for everyone to know, could be injuries. He's had some health issues in the past.
Yeah, he's one of many lean rookies in the draft class.
All right, rookie quarterbacks. Where did we end up on all of the rookie quarterbacks? Dave, go ahead.
Daniels is one for me in redraft. I've got Caleb next and McCarthy behind them.
But where in your rankings? Where in your rankings?
I don't think I have them. I don't think it really matters.
Well, where are your first two? Daniels and Caleb.
Currently have Daniels at 14, Caleb at 16. Obviously, they can move up. They're both really exciting. And so taking them ahead of any quarterback that's a veteran that isn't exciting, all the sense in the world to do that. And I'm kind of excited about McCarthy, but he's not even in my top 20.
I've got
top 12 for me. Daniels.
Okay.
And Williams.
I like it. I've got Daniels at 16, Williams at 20, McCarthy at 21. And I'm holding back on McCarthy.
Thank you, Jamie. You know, I'm sitting here going, gosh, am I just insane? Is something wrong with me? Because I just love the setup for Caleb Williams. Holy cow.
The thing about it is, like, you know, our job is to tell people when to draft these guys. And you can make the argument pro and con about taking the veteran first and the younger player second if you want to, you know, try and make sure you're taking two. Because you need to take two if you draft these guys. At least that's the way I feel right now. But, like, we kind of saw maybe the best of Tua last year. We got Cousins going to a new situation. I think we all agree it's a slight downgrade, you know, because the veterans, the weapons aren't as proven. He's also coming off an Achilles injury. Herbert's got...
Wait. They're not going to start Penix?
I have all three guys over Cousins, so I agree with that one completely.
You know, Rodgers is coming back from an Achilles injury. Herbert has less weapons than either of these two guys, in my opinion. You know, so, like, you start to just nitpick some of these other quarterbacks that they're going to be ranked around. And it's like, you know, to the point about Jaden Daniels coming off a 1,000-yard rushing season, like, this feels like something very similar to Anthony Richardson last year. We were all excited about him as a top 12 guy because of his rushing upside.
Wow.
And Caleb Williams steps into his...
I guess not all of us were excited, yeah. But the three analysts were excited about Anthony Richardson.
Well, I was really representing him. Yeah. The situation with Caleb Williams, I mean, my gosh, he's got as good a receiving core as any rookie is stepping into. Like, feels like a CJ Stroud type situation, you know, with the weapons that are around him, which we didn't really expect, but sort of materialized that way. And so I'm just going to shoot for the ups, you know, take the upside. You know, as Dave says, you know, you don't want to draft players at their ceiling. At this position, you'd kind of do, you know. And so in the case of these guys, I guess let me rephrase it. You're not drafting them at their ceiling in terms of their cost, because you're not drafting them rounds 3, 4, 5, whatever. But in terms of their ranking, for me at least, like, I'd rather take these guys as the starter and then try and backfill it with the second guy. Like, you tell me I come away from my draft with Caleb Williams and Jared Goff, I'm fine with that. You know, perfectly fine with it. You know, Jaden Daniels and Matthew Stafford, I'm fine with it. Because I have a guy that's got top 10 upside, and I have a guy that could still be a top 12 guy as a fallback option.
So how about the running backs? Anybody have a running back in their top 24, rookie running back?
Where did I put Brooks? He's just outside.
I think he's just inside for me. No, 26.
That's where I have him, 26.
He'll be in that range for me, and I think that this in training camp, if he's ready to go, not on the pup list, will be inside the top 24.
Maybe could go all the way to 20.
Could be a top 12 running back in the second half of the season.
And tight end, where's Brock Bowers, and is Ben Sinnott your second-ranked tight end? Where's he? Heath, you want to start with that?
I think I got Bowers to 12, and that was fudging the numbers a little bit, but just because of kind of the argument Jamie was making
for some of the rookie quarterbacks, the upside. I don't have another rookie tight end in my top 24, but Ben Sinnott would be second. Theo Johnson might go ahead of him if Darren Waller retires. That wasn't a joke.
Yeah. Well, what about, do you think he just jumps Bellinger?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of do too. Bellinger's more of a blocker for them.
If anybody in this class could jump Bellinger, it'd be Theo Johnson. Yeah, right. Incredible athlete.
All right. Dave, you have Bowers eighth. Ooh, nice.
I do. I'm excited about him and the prospect of him being utilized in a very, very meaningful way for Las Vegas. I can't say like super heavy, 120 targets, anything like that. I think he'll fall short of that, but I think he's going to get carries. I think he's going to get a lot of those short targets. I think he's going to be utilized near the goal line. I think that he's got all kinds of upside to be a unique type of fantasy tight end. And so if I want to get into that, I'm going to have to draft him ahead of some other tight ends that feel safer. Evan Engram, TJ Hockenson, Jake Ferguson, Dallas Goedert. These are a lot of names that we know. Some of them were studs for us last year, and we want to go back to them. I feel like Bowers is a little bit more fun, and I'll take the chance on him in late round seven, if that's what it takes, to get a talent that could absolutely be a difference maker for fantasy.
Yeah, the only one I wholeheartedly disagree with there is Engram.
I think Dave said that he has to take Bowers over tight ends that feel safer, meaning Engram feels
safer. That's fine,
safer.
But I would like Ingram's like three or four rounds easily ahead of Bowers for me.
Yeah, I think in PPR, Engram has a lot more upside than Bowers too. But just because I think in this offense, Ingram's going to see as many targets as almost anybody.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off a 100 catch season, and Brian Thomas is not the type of guy that's going to change that.
Okay. I have one more game for us to play here at the end. I'm not even sure I want to play it, but I put it in the notes, so we might as well do it. But I will say, we got a big game tonight. Big game tonight. Heath has very low expectations. For my first softball game in many, many years, like my second softball game in the last 15 years, he thinks I'm going to strike out in slow pitch softball. So I don't think that's going to strike out.
I don't. It's not easy to hit a slow pitch softball when you've not seen a slow pitch in 15 years.
I think I'm going to say ground out to the third baseman, ground out to the shortstop. And you're going to be the idiot that hits it back at the pitcher by mistake on your hardest hit ball.
I think the pitcher will be okay.
I think I'm going to go one for three. Well, I was like, I don't have any.
You're counting errors as hits, though, when you say one for three. You think they're going to throw it away once.
I think I'm going to get a legit line drive base hit to right center field.
Is this co-ed or men?
I think it's just men. I don't know a single person on the team. I was sort of referred by a friend, by a neighbor who didn't want to play. I said, oh, I'll play. So I'm going to meet all these new people tonight. And I said, like, do I need to bring a bat? And the guy said, no, I have a bat. But my concern is that he's never dealt with someone as scrawny and weak as me. And all of the bats are going to be too big. It's like when I go bowling, I have to get like the
kids. Have you bought a bat for Andrew for T-ball yet?
Yeah, I don't think I can use that.
Just show up with that just in case.
I don't have cleats. I don't.
You're definitely going to swing and miss.
I don't have cleats though.
Go buy cleats, please. Go buy.
I'm gonna
cleats.
Go buy.
Yeah, cleats. That, like that's for your own good.
Yeah, I'm gonna go buy.
But
some
then cleats. You're gonna be the guy who shows up with new cleats. Then they know you're not gonna. They know you've never played before.
Do you have baseball pants?
Like, before you go to the park, you got to run around in your cleats first on a field.
You're gonna get some baseball pants.
I was told that people wear shorts or sweatpants.
Oh yeah, don't wear baseball pants.
Please wear baseball pants.
I'm not wearing baseball pants. I'm gonna wear eye black though and stirrups.
Is your family going to go watch you?
No, I'm not ready for that.
Will it be streamed anywhere online?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're not going to tell us.
Yet, by the way,
I did. Yesterday was my first day coaching T-ball. It was really fun. They didn't keep score, so it was a tie. Everyone hit a home run.
What happened when they threw the ball to you?
Oh, right. Yes. A kid threw the ball to me, threw it way over my head, and it rolled onto the other team's like practice area. And the coach, I think it was, I would say about 20 yards away, the coach throws the ball back to me, like a pretty good throw, and I just dropped it. And I was oh, God. Tomorrow is not, Monday night's not going to go well for me.
Where are you playing? What position?
I don't know.
Right field.
Right field or catcher?
They're going to put me in right field, yeah.
Yeah. You're the new guy on a team with a bunch of strangers. You're playing as far away from everybody as possible.
I want to see if they put you a catcher. Will you stay in a catching position?
No.
No chance. I can't. He's going to be ducking and flinching.
You know I have bad knees. I can't play catcher like that. I
got. You can stand back there.
Yeah, I'll stand. I can't crouch. But I would like to say, on a more positive note, Heath's son is unbelievable at basketball. He put a highlight clip of him on Twitter. I couldn't believe it. The kid is amazing. Like, is he going to be? This is a serious question. Is he going to play college basketball?
I don't know. I will say that everybody's highlight reel.
He's in the eighth grade. Give the kid a break. Like, he's
everybody looks better on their highlight reel than they do. In real basketball, but no, he's been working really hard and playing really well, and that's his dream.
That's amazing. I was blown away.
He's really good. I've seen a few practices, and I've seen that same highlight videos. Like, he's really good.
All right, let's get on to our game here. I tried a little spin on buy or sell, believe it or not. I'm going to go with, yeah, I could see it, or no, you're weird. All right, sixth round pick wide receiver Malik Washington out of Virginia will be the Miami Dolphins' third leading receiver. Yeah, I could see it, or no, you're weird.
Yeah, I could see it.
This was an easy one.
You're weird.
I'm weird. I thought this was a layup. Who's going to be their third leading receiver?
Janu.
I think his name is Who, and his last name is Cares.
Well, that's, I guess, the other. He had 110 catches, I think, last year, Malik Washington. He led the country in catches, and no Dolphins receiver in the Tyreek Hill era in the last 2 years. No third receiver has had more than 417 yards. They really want production from someone else, and it could be Malik Washington. Not that say that's going to be fantasy relevant, though. All right, fifth round pick running back Audric Estime out of Notre Dame will be Denver's goal line back. Yeah, I can see it. Or no, you're weird. You think I'm weird, Jamie?
I just like saying that.
Yeah, I don't. I don't want it to be true, but I could see it.
I think it's possible Estime could have a role as big as the 1B running back and a role as small as the second kick returner. I think he's one of, like, 14 running backs that were taken on day three that are meant to play on special teams.
He's four. He ran a 4.7 something. How could he play?
He's Taysom Hill.
How could he bring, you know, how could he return kicks? I wouldn't put him at kick returner.
But it's a different type of kick return play.
Yeah.
I think that'd be more.
It's almost going to be like a running play.
My favorite Estime stat, because he's just enormous. He averaged 6.9 yards per carry in the fourth quarter in each of the last two seasons. He could really wear you down. All right. Yeah, I could see it, or no, you're weird. Fourth round running back Ray Davis out of Kentucky will be Buffalo's goal line running back.
You're weird. They have Josh Allen.
They always have a goal line running back, though. They had Latavius. They have Frank Gore. They even were using Leonard Fournette there, I think. And it's pretty much never James Cook. Rarely James Cook.
Trapasso was really down on Ray Davis.
Yeah.
He was outstanding at the Senior Bowl, but as a prospect, he's not great, mainly because he's old. He's going to be 25 years old during the upcoming NFL season.
Chris said on Saturday that he wouldn't be surprised if Frank Gore Jr. is better than Ray Davis.
Okay.
Entirely possible.
So you're not just viewing him as a goal linebacker. Okay, next one. You're going to laugh at me for this one, but I'll do it. Yeah, this is weird. Fourth round pick Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin will be the Jets goal line running back.
No, come on.
Yeah. I could absolutely see that if Breece Hall decides, I don't want to play this week.
Breece Hall scored 41 touchdowns in his last two seasons at Iowa State. Dave, this one's specifically for you. Yeah, I could see it, or no, you're weird. We should talk more about Washington tight end Ben Sinnott.
Not yet. You're weird for saying that.
Okay, you kind of yelled at me for talking so much about him on Friday night. That was the joke.
Yeah, because it was a waste of time.
All right, next up, Ladd McConkey will lead all rookies in receptions.
You're weird.
Second. He'll be second.
Here's
he's
one.
Be second. You're a weirdo.
Here's one that got a little bit more of a stretch. Denver wide receiver Troy Franklin will lead all rookies in receptions.
Man, what kind of juju are you trying to put on Marvin Harrison here?
I know he's the favorite, but Franklin, I mean, it's like a sleeper.
Why not say Franklin could lead the Broncos in receptions?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's even a strategy.
I can absolutely see that.
All right. I'm weird.
There's so much to like about where Franklin ended up. And it's got some to do with him reuniting with Bo Nix, but Sean Payton's track record of utilizing receivers strictly to their strengths, it's awesome.
He just didn't think Marvin Mims had very many strengths, I guess.
I guess not, but here comes Troy Franklin, who's going to potentially get all sorts of opportunities. I don't even know if Sutton's going to stay on this team. Mm-hmm.
All right, at least two of Bucky Irving with Tampa Bay.
You said Bucky, right?
I did. Tampa Bay Buckies. Tyrone Tracy with the Giants and Kamani Vidal with the Chargers. At least two of those three will lead their team in rushing.
Yeah, I could see it.
You're weird.
Yeah, you're weird.
This is from Dave. Zero RB will be more popular than ever, which is why now's the time to target two running backs with your first three picks.
You're weird.
Dave's weird.
I do find myself more interested in drafting a running back in round one than I have been. Because
That'd be Hero. Yeah, Hero. Yep. All right. CeeDee Lamb should, this is also from Dave. CeeDee Lamb should be the first pick in drafts, and Dak Prescott should be a top five fantasy quarterback.
You're weird.
Dave's weird.
Yep, Dave's weird.
Wait a minute. I'm not saying I would do these things. I'm just trying to make podcast content.
Hey, believe me, if anyone gets that, it's me. Here's the podcast question I had about
this. The draft was very, very good to Dak and CeeDee Lamb.
I challenge that.
Why?
Because I don't think that them having arguably the worst running game in football or a bottom five running game is good for anyone. They showed, I went back and looked. I mean, it's not like you see a huge correlation between bad running games and great fantasy quarterbacks. You do see it sometimes just because of pass attempts, but they've already shown that they could have a good running game and still be elite. Or I don't know if you want to call Dak elite, but he was like for the last 10 games, whatever. But I equate this to the Buccaneers a couple years ago where they had a terrible running game and Brady threw a ton and he just struggled. I would equate it to I equate it to the Chargers last year where they had a bad running game. And you know what? They just had a bad offense. And Herbert was good, but he wasn't as good as he can be. I don't buy the concept that bad running game is good for a quarterback.
They improved their offensive line. Their defense won't be as good as it was last year. And in the second half of the season, they put it all on Dak and Lamb. And they put up a ton of points. I'm talking the Cowboys put up a ton of points. And they got to the playoffs. And they got crushed in the playoffs, but at least they got there. Absolutely see a path where Lamb leads the NFL in targets per game. And Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback at the end of the year.
All right, last one from Dave.
Actually set up perfectly for them because they didn't add another big-time receiver or a running back.
Matt Weber was hoping that I'm placing right field. I will be. And the team he's on had no idea the team they were playing were all power-hitting lefties. J.J. McCarthy will be the best rookie quarterback in 2024.
I could see it.
Thomas wrote this one? You're weird.
Dave is weird, but yeah, I could see it, Dave.
I could see it, too. I'm not going to draft it that way, and nobody has to draft it that way. But we talk about Caleb Williams falling into this amazing spot where he's got these pass catchers. What did J.J. McCarthy fall into?
Mm-hmm. A better awesome spot.
And you know what? I think he's a good quarterback.
And he can run. You think he'll get to 300 rushing yards?
He'll run the least of the top three.
I'm McCarthy. Aware. But do you think he'll get to 300 rushing yards?
Maybe.
Sure.
But he'll have like
20 a game as long as he starts week one.
Yeah, if he starts week one, he could have 303 on the ground, but he could also have 4,030 through the air.
I have a super flex rookie only draft starting in about 2 hours, and I have the fifth pick, and my choice is going to be between McCarthy and Neighbors.
Oh, Neighbors.
How bad do you need a quarterback?
You're the Giants.
My starting quarterbacks are Geno Smith and Matthew Stafford. I'm taking McCarthy if he's there.
Congratulations.
Yeah. No, take Neighbors. Take Neighbors. Take Neighbors. You're making a mistake.
I don't think I'll have a choice. It's going to be one of the two.
Yeah, take Neighbors. Oh.
If Neighbors goes four, I'm taking McCarthy. If McCarthy goes four, I'm taking Neighbors.
Okay, what if someone drafts Kamani Vidal third overall and all of a sudden you can draft both? You can draft either one.
I'll trade back one spot.
You're such a jerk.
And what did they say? No.
On the poll.
I'm sorry. I'm going to pick one. You put Vidal third.
Which wide receiver are you drafting first? 666 votes. Ooh, spooky. Marvin Harrison is the winner. 30.6%, followed by Drake London, who Schaefer voted for, at 26.7%, followed by Devontae Adams at 22%, 21%. It's changing a little bit. And Chris Olave just behind Devontae Adams. So pretty close poll, but Marvin Harrison, 678 votes, is the leader ahead of Adams, Olave.
No recency bias there at all.
Who would you have voted for?
London.
All right, guys. Great show. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you all on Wednesday. Check out FFT Dynasty on Tuesday. Talk to you soon.
Everyone is talking about IF.
I'm going to go on a limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
This is just so exciting.
IF. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.